I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, bonus episode to season one. Who am I? This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hey, welcome to a bonus episode to season one. Yes, technically, I'm in the middle of a break between seasons, but as I was looking ahead in the Come Follow Me manual and reading the story of Zacchaeus and how the Lord judges not by the outward appearance, but by the desires of the heart, I felt strongly to share with you a talk I gave on this subject not too long ago. In the Come Follow Me manual, this story and topic is actually under the ideas for personal scripture study and not under ideas for family scripture study and family home evening. But I am going to include a family home evening suggestion at the end of this if you want to teach this to your family. If you haven't already signed up for the Teach Me Family Home Evening group, where a family home evening outline is delivered to your inbox each week, be sure you do. Simply head over to Melanie's Library and sign up in today's show notes found at melanieslibrary.com/teachmebonus1. Today's topic is Who Am I? For Come Follow Me for May 20th through the 26th. Now, I'd like to start off by playing a little trivia game called Who Am I? I'm going to tell you clues about two different people, and I want to see if you can guess who they are. Who am I? I am an inventor. I hold a world record of 1,093 patents. I created the world's first industrial research laboratory. I invented the sound recording device, the motion picture projector, and founded the motion picture industry. In 1928, I received the Congressional Gold Medal. My greatest known invention is the light bulb. I am Thomas Edison. Okay, who am I? I am an American basketball player. I am the only person in NBA history to be named Rookie of the Year, Regular Season MVP, Finals MVP, Coach of the Year, and Executive of the Year. I won 3 NBA championships, 2 NBA Finals MVP awards, and was a member of the U.S. Men's Olympic basketball team dubbed the Dream Team that won the gold medal at the 1992 Summer Olympics. I am Larry Bird. Pat yourself on the back if you got both of those right. Great job. Now, if you had to answer the question, who am I, what would you say? Now, the most common response given by people is to name what they do for a living. Like, I'm a doctor, I'm in finance, or I build houses. Another common response is to name one of your life's accomplishments, such as I played football in college, I'm really good at painting, or I've hiked Mount Everest. Whatever the case may be, these are all things that we have done in our lives, and we should be very proud of these things. But does that really answer the question, who am I? By worldly standards, yes, that is who you are, for that is how the world sees you. Just as Edison is known for the light bulb and Bird for his amazing basketball career, that is what they are known for. That is how others see them. And you know, we are guilty of this as well. Sometimes we label ourselves and others by what we do or by what we accomplish. Sometimes we put these accomplishments up on a pedestal. Now, don't get me wrong, these are talents the Lord has blessed us with, and it makes him very pleased when we share and develop these talents. But are the accomplishments themselves really who we are? Is it our accomplishments that Heavenly Father really cares about? Does he care about how many trophies, ribbons, or medals we have won? Does he care about how successful we are? These are things of a worldly nature, and they do not define us. I believe Heavenly Father is more interested in the life lessons that we have learned along the way, the problems that we have had to face, and the challenges that we have had to overcome to get where we are today. As we can all testify, there are always obstacles to overcome if we are to accomplish anything worthwhile, whether it be to develop our talents or as we simply try to stay on the straight and narrow path. What matters to our Father in heaven is the knowledge that we gain and the lives that we touch in the process. Now ask yourself this question again. Who am I? Maybe you'll answer it now with what you have had to overcome or the experiences you have gone through to get where you are today. Many times we don't want to share the challenges we have faced or the things we've gone through because we feel embarrassed or feel we are a failure. We don't want people to know what we've been through or are going through because we are afraid of what others might think. And why? Because the world not only labels people by their accomplishments, but they also label them by their failures or hardships. Edison is famous for his light bulb, but did you know that when he was 14, he contracted scarlet fever? The effect of the fever, as well as a train incident, caused Edison to become completely deaf in his left ear and 80% deaf in the other. And as we all know, Edison made thousands of attempts at the light bulb before he was finally successful. But did you also know that when Edison was 67 years old, a massive explosion erupted inside his plant and it was instantly engulfed in flames? Edison determined that he'd lost $920,000. That's like $23 million in today's dollars. The flames had consumed years of priceless records and prototypes, and his plant's insurance covered only about a third of the total damage. Now, had he let his deafness define him, he may have come to be known as simply the deaf boy. Or had he given up on the light bulb after only a few attempts, he may have become known as simply the man who was always tinkering in his garage. Or had he let the total destruction of his plant stop him from rebuilding and making even more money than he ever had before, he could have just been known as the inventor who lost everything. Then you have Larry Bird. Bird was born dirt poor in a small town in Indiana. He had a hard childhood. His parents divorced, his alcoholic father committed suicide. Because of his success in high school, he did receive a scholarship to the University of Indiana. But because of the overwhelming size of the school and his severe lack of funds, he dropped out and hitchhiked 50 miles home. Now, had Bird given up when he got back home, he wouldn't have worked as a garbage man and saved up enough money to return to college, but this time to Indiana State University, where he became a national basketball figure. Had he not done that and just quit, he could have easily become known as the man whose father committed suicide and who had a promising basketball career, but gave it all up and hitchhiked home. We all face hard things. And in today's world, not only do we go through difficult challenges, but oftentimes we have a family member or a loved one that also goes through a difficult challenge that affects us as well. Some of those challenges might include drugs, bankruptcy, job loss, divorced parents or single parenting, suicide or attempted suicide, a wayward child, health problems, affair, same-sex attraction, rape, physical limitations, abuse, theft, estranged family member, alcohol, pornography, miscarriage or unable to conceive, death of a loved one, and the list goes on. These are all trials and tribulations we are called to bear in this mortal life. These are the trials and tribulations that we must experience as we walk through the refiner's fire. They are to humble us, teach us, shape us, and mold us. But they do not define us. With the help of our Savior, we can overcome these challenges and we can become better because of them. And although others may label us as one with the addiction problem or the one who has a wayward child or the one who lost his job, it is not who we really are. So now you're probably asking yourself, okay, who am I then? If I'm not defined by my accomplishments and I'm not defined by my trials, then who am I? You know, one of my favorite chocolate candies are those Lindt Lindor chocolate truffles, the ones that you bite into and they are filled with that delicious yumminess inside. Oh, they are oh so good, especially the ones with caramel inside. Biting into one of those and tasting that gooey, delicious caramel in the middle, oh, those are my favorite. Well, did you know that you are that stuff in the middle? Just as the caramel is what's inside the chocolate, you are defined by what's inside of you. How do I know what's inside of me, you might ask? To truly answer this, you will need to ask yourself a few questions. Some of those questions might include, how do I act when I'm faced with a challenge? Do I blame others? Do I make excuses and say things like, well, that's just who I am? Do I give up and say it's too hard? Or do I follow the prophet? Do I surround myself with the Spirit and with others who invite the Spirit? Do I do those simple primary answers like pray, read my scriptures, and go to church? Do I find joy in the journey? Do I stay positive? Did you know Edison's response to becoming deaf was, good, I'll be able to concentrate? Or when his plant was engulfed in flames, his son Charles said that Edison calmly walked over to him and said, go get your mother and all her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again. And when Charles objected, Edison said, it's all right, we've just got rid of a lot of rubbish. Or another question you might ask yourself would be, do I let my trials motivate me to succeed as they did Larry Bird? Bird attributes his trials to motivating him to do all that he could, like taking 200 practice shots every morning before going to school. You know, for a complete set of self-evaluation questions, we could read all of Alma chapter 5, but to save time, and for those who prefer the simple version, if we were to narrow down all of these questions to just one, that one question would be, what is the desire of my heart? Elder Neil A. Maxwell has said, quote, what we insistently desire over time is what we will eventually become and what we will receive in eternity, unquote. Elder Dallin H. Oaks also said, quote, desires dictate our priorities. Priorities shape our choices, and choices determine our actions. The desires we act on determine our changing, our achieving, and our becoming, unquote. It is our desire that is at the core of everything that we are or will become. Do you remember what the Lord said about how we will be judged in the end? For I, saith the Lord, will judge all men according to their works, according to the desire of their heart. Now, can our desires change? Can our desires go from bad to good and good to bad? Yes. Yes, they can. It's like the story of the old Indian chief that told his grandson, my son, there is a battle between two wolves inside us all. One is evil, the other is good. The boy thought about it and asked, grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old man quietly replied, the one you feed. In the scriptures, we're told of the change in the Lamanite king that was taught by Aaron. The king asked Aaron what he needed to do that he may have eternal life, and Aaron told him he needed to repent of his sins. And the king's response was, I will give away all of my sins to know thee. Even if we but have the smallest flicker of desire to do good, if we feed that desire, it will grow. Elder Oaks also shares a story you might remember. He said, quote, "How do we develop desires? Few will have the kind of crisis that motivated Aaron Ralston, but his experience provides a valuable lesson about developing desires. While Ralston was hiking in a remote canyon in southern Utah, an 800-pound rock shifted suddenly and trapped his right arm. For 5 lonely days, he struggled to free himself. When he was about to give up and accept death, he had a vision of a 3-year-old boy running toward him and being scooped up with his left arm. Understanding this as a vision of his future son and an assurance that he could still live, Ralston summoned the courage and took drastic action to save his life before his strength ran out. He broke the 2 bones in his trapped right arm and then used the knife in his multi-tool to cut off that arm. He then summoned the strength to hike 5 miles for help. What an example of the power of an overwhelming desire. When we have a vision of what we can become, our desire and our power to act increase enormously." Unquote. And once again, I ask you, how would you answer the question, "Who am I?" That is an answer that only you can give. Although the world and others may try to answer it for you, only you and your Father in heaven know who you truly are. And Jesus teaches us this great lesson in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, when he shares the story of Zacchaeus. In Jesus' day, many people assumed that the publicans, or tax collectors, were dishonest and that they stole from the people. Zacchaeus was the chief publican and wealthy, so of course, many people assumed that he was dishonest and stole from them. Now, the story starts out with Zacchaeus wanting to see Jesus, but because of everyone surrounding him, and the scriptures say that Zacchaeus was little of stature, Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus. Jesus looked up, saw Zacchaeus, and called for him to come down and said, "I am going to abide in your house today." Well, when the people saw this, of course, they murmured. In their eyes, Jesus was going to be a guest with a man that was dishonest and stole from them. But in Luke 19, verse 8, we learn the kind of person that Zacchaeus really was. Verse 8, it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I store him fourfold." What a great example of someone being defined by their occupation and even by their possessions. Yet was that really who Zacchaeus was? No. He was a good man, and the Lord knew it. The world judges on the outward appearance, but the Lord judges by the desire of our hearts. May one day we each answer the question, "Who am I?" with the answer, "I am a glorified, exalted being standing in the presence of my Father in heaven." I testify that we each have the power to do so, if it so be the desire of our hearts. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, on to Family Home Evening suggestion. For the song, you can do "Love One Another." And then for an intention getter, now this object lesson is an oldie but a goodie. Before the lesson, you make 2 separate batches of cookies. And when you prepare the first batch, make sure that the cookies are bigger and look very nice. But then dump too much salt into the batter so that they taste really bad. And then make the other batch with the correct ingredients, but make them look kind of ugly, you know, misshapen and small. Serve both batches of cookies on the same platter and have everyone choose just one cookie. They'll most likely choose the pretty looking ones and find out that they taste terrible. And then ask why they chose the cookies that they did. And then use it as an analogy for how we shouldn't judge people by appearances alone. Now, if you don't want to use food, you can put like a fun prize in a poorly wrapped box and then put something useless in a beautifully wrapped box and have the family just choose one to open. And they'll most likely choose the prettier one, and you can use the same analogy. Then, of course, for the scripture story, do the story of Zacchaeus found in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Now, before you begin, you may introduce the story by saying that in Jesus' day, you know, many people assumed that the publicans or tax collectors were dishonest and stole from the people. And we're going to learn about the chief publican who was very wealthy, and his name was Zacchaeus. And then you can read it together, or if you have kids who like to act out stories, this is an easy one to act out. You just need a narrator, Jesus, and Zacchaeus. Also, get a chair or a stool to represent the tree. Have the narrator begin reading and have those portraying Jesus and Zacchaeus act out and read their part as you come to them. And then have a discussion and ask questions like, what was Zacchaeus' occupation? How might his occupation have led people to believe he was a bad man? Was Zacchaeus a bad man? Why not? Did Jesus think he was a bad man? Who knows us better than anyone? And then explain how the world judges people on outward appearances, but the Lord judges people on the desires of their heart. And then for the lesson, you can start out by explaining how your looks, your occupation, your possessions, your failures, your trials, none of that defines who you are. What's important is how you live your life, and how you live your life is determined by the desire of your heart. In your heart, do you love Jesus and Heavenly Father? In your heart, do you believe the gospel to be true? In your heart, do you want to do good? And then share Elder Maxwell's quote, you know, what we insistently desire over time is what we will eventually become and what we will receive in eternity. And then you can ask, how can the desires of our heart affect our actions and who we become? And can desires change from good to bad and bad to good? And then share the story from Elder Oaks about Aaron Ralston, the man who was had the desire to return home, and he broke his bones in his arm and cut it off so that he could make it home. And talk about how Ralston had that desire to live, and because of that desire, he was able to take action and do whatever was necessary to live and return home to his family. And the same is true for each of us. Whatever desire we have, that is what we will become. If we desire to be good, then we will do our best to be good. If our desire is that we don't care what grade we get in math class, then our grade in math class won't be that good. But even if we have just a small flicker of desire to be good, if we feed that desire, it will grow and bear testimony that the Lord knows the desires of our hearts and that he is never fooled by outward appearances like the salty cookies. And then for the game, you can play Who Am I? An easy way to play it is do it similar to 20 questions, but this time you only guess people. You take turns thinking of someone everyone knows. They can be famous or a relative. It doesn't matter. And then everyone asks the person who is thinking of someone yes or no questions about the person they're thinking of until they figure out who it is they're thinking of. And then for the closing song, you can do the primary song, Jesus Said Love Everyone. Well, that's all for the bonus episode today. Thank you for listening. And if you're on iTunes, be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave me a review. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.